My soul magnifies God, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of their servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. God's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. God has shown strength with God's arm and has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped Israel in remembrance of God's mercy, according to the promise made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever. We celebrate the written word of Scripture.
Thanks be to God.
We celebrate the living word, Christ among us.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Loving God, you lift up the lowly, and you fill the hungry with good things. As we experience your word of liberation, may a word of joy well up in us that we might rejoice with you. Amen. In this morning's Isaiah text, the prophet rises up out of the rubble of their world and sings this song of joy. My whole being exults in God. I rejoice in God. You see, 70 years before this, Jerusalem, their home, had been razed to the ground, the people taken captive, and now 70 years later, they have stumbled back to find their world still in rubble. Standing in the rubble, this is not where you would expect to find a song of joy. And Mary, too. We know Mary's story well enough. She is an unwed young woman who finds herself pregnant in a patriarchal world that punishes women for being women. And in the midst of that, Mary rises up and sings the Magnificat, this song of joy. My soul magnifies God. My spirit rejoices in my God, my Savior. Living under the heel of imperial oppression, this is not where we would expect to find a song of joy, but this is joy nonetheless. So maybe it's time to ask, as we've set out on this Advent long journey toward joy, what is joy? As we work and watch and weep, what is this joy for which we long? What is this joy toward which we journey? Most of the time, we think of joy as something we feel and experience when something good happens. A baby is born and we experience joy. The choir sings an amazing Gloria and we experience joy. We fall in love. We reconnect with an old friend. We accomplish something we never thought possible. We watch the sun rise from the horizon of a dark night in a dazzling carnival of color. Our team wins the game, and we experience joy. We experience joy because something good happens. Or the complement of that, we experience joy when something bad comes to an end. Remember that psalm from the summer when the people in captivity, when they hear that their captivity is coming to an end? We were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. When captivity ends, joy. When a despot falls from power, joy. When confusion and dismay open up into clarity, joy. We experience joy because something bad comes to an end. That's one way to think about joy, what one writer calls joy because. Joy because something good happens, joy because something bad ends, joy because. To be sure, that is a part of joy. We know that from our lived experience, and we see it all across Scripture, but there's got to be something more to it. Because in that Isaiah text and in Mary's world, the world is a wreck. And what we see there is joy notwithstanding. Joy notwithstanding the circumstances of their world. In the Isaiah text, the people have returned home and they find their world in ruins. We know the story. Years ago, the Babylonian Empire swept in, burned Jerusalem to the ground, and took a good segment of the people into exile. In last week's Isaiah text, remember, comfort, comfort my people. After 70 years of exile, the people hear the good news that they are going home. And then in this morning's text, this bedraggled people, they have made their way home, and they find their world in ruins. No homes, no marketplace, no temple. They walk around what Isaiah calls the ancient ruins, the devastations of many generations. Theirs is a world of ashes and mourning. And then even as the prophet names that, there is a turning. Something shifts for the prophet, still standing in the rubble, still grieving bitter loss. Something shifts so that the prophet can see a garland instead of ashes, a mantle of praise girding up their faint spirits, the anointing oil of gladness instead of mourning. What's behind this turning? It can't be joy because something good has happened. Their world is in ruins. It's not likely joy because something bad has come to an end. Yes, they've been released to come home, but they've left one devastation only to arrive in another. This doesn't look like joy because. But standing in the rubble, the prophet sings this song of joy because God. Because God loves justice. Because God loves God's people. Because God rescues and saves the people again and again. Because God always sets the world right, even in the wreckage of our world. This isn't joy because of their circumstances. It's joy notwithstanding the circumstances of the world because God. Same with Mary. Now, Mary's not standing in the wreckage left by imperial oppression. She is standing in the red-hot midst of imperial oppression, present, not past tense. Mary has fled to her cousin Elizabeth's house because she knows what patriarchal power does to women who step out of the patriarchal norms. Mary flees to the safety of Elizabeth's house for her life. And remember the story, Mary walks in and something stirs in Elizabeth, and Elizabeth proclaims, Mary, blessed, this unwed mother in this patriarchal world, blessed are you, Mary. And Mary sings this song of joy. Something shifts. There is a turning. And Mary sings it out. God is bringing down the powers and lifting up the lowly. God is sending the rich away empty, but filling the hungry with good things. Make no mistake, outside the walls of Elizabeth's little house, the Roman Empire still breathes its death-dealing threats. But here in this moment, Mary sings this song of joy notwithstanding because God. In my reading over the past few weeks, I've come across a description of joy that has really stayed with me. It's from N.T. Wright, and it's this. Joy is the fresh presence of God. Joy is the fresh presence of God, the fresh action of God rising up from the steady and sure saving action of God across all time. Yes, joy is an emotion. It's something we feel. It's a response to the goodness we experience in creation and in God. And joy is an action. Rejoice. It's a celebration of the goodness of all that God has created. And joy is also a disposition. Joy is also a stance. Joy is a stance where we ground ourselves firmly in the goodness of God amid the trouble and turmoil of the world. In that sense, joy isn't so much about the shifting circumstances of our world as it is about the steady ground of God's steadfast love and ultimate sovereignty. It's not so much about our circumstances as it is about the larger reality of God's love that transcends the churnings of our world, always and ultimately moving the world toward good. One writer puts it this way: joy is an embodied awareness of holy presence and extravagant love. Our joy isn't so much about our circumstances as it is about God's will for human flourishing and God's delight in human flourishing. Think of the story of the prodigal son, the parent who runs down the drive to embrace the one returning home, or that story of the woman and the lost coin who turns her house upside down and scours it, and when she finds what is lost, she calls her neighbors together so that they can rejoice. Our joy is ultimately about the larger reality of God's goodness, God's love, God's power, and yes, God's joy in human flourishing, in the flourishing of all creation. Joy is the fresh action of God that embodies in this moment God's forever longing for human flourishing, even and especially when times are hard. That's the joy. That's the joy that the prophet and Mary can sing rising up out of the rubble and struggle of power over. Now let me be clear as to what I am not saying. I am not saying that joy negates or disregards or even supplants our very real pain and grieving. I'm not saying that our joy ignores human suffering. But thinking of joy as the fresh action of God opens up to us the possibility that God's love and joy and saving help are available to us in every circumstance. We are never cut off. Joy is possible because God takes seriously our suffering and our grieving, because God wills a better world, because God wills and desires and longs for human flourishing. God always has and God always will, as the book of Lamentation puts it. It is the one thing we can count on every day, God's love and mercy, fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise. What I've come to realize this week is that we have been talking about joy all year long. Think back to Juneteenth. Do you remember June 19th, 1865, black folks who had been enslaved in Texas hear the word that they are now free? Joy. And then, in the observance of Juneteenth, year after year, the celebration of that same joy persists in a fresh commitment to freedom, even as the evils of systemic American racism continue to grind away. Joy in remembering that day of liberation and joy at the fresh experience of freedom rising up even in the troubles and pain of the present day. Think back to when we talked about pride anthems in June, during pride season, those songs that LGBTQIA plus folks know by heart. I am what I am. I will survive. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I have been oddly fascinated by Cher's new Christmas song, DJ Play a Christmas Song, and I warned you I might have some more to say about it. That song, Cher's new Christmas song, it takes us to a dance floor at Christmas time with vibrant red and green lights and the pulse of music as Cher sings, DJ, play a Christmas song. I want to be dancing all night long. It's tough outside, but it's love in here. And that's the only thing I want this year. Now. That may sound like just a bit of Christmas fluff to some. But I hear it. I hear it standing in the LGBTQIA plus community listening to share. For so many in our community, the holidays come with a particular pain. So many in our community are separated from their families, particularly at the holidays. They are disparaged, discouraged, and sometimes even disowned. At Christmas and the rest of the year, far too many LGBTQIA plus folks move through a world that tells us that we should not be who we are or love who we love. And in the midst of that hard world, in clubs and on dance floors, dancing to share and others, we have found moments and spaces together where we can be who we are and laugh and sing, where for a moment we can be free. So, when Cher sings about a disco dance floor at Christmas time and says, it's tough outside, but it's love in here, and that is the only thing I want this year, I hear joy. Joy because of that fresh word that life and love can be ours too. Joy notwithstanding all the hate that persists in the world. Think back to the Apostle Paul, sitting in that jail cell, writing his letter to the Philippians who have just sent him a fresh little bit of support to keep him alive in prison. And sitting there in the reality of a prison he will never leave, the apostle's response is joy. In that letter to the Philippians, he says it over and over again, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing. Let your gentleness be made known to all. God is near. Rejoice. In every circumstance, God is near, God is good, God is sovereign over all of this, and in Christ and forever, God desires above all else the flourishing of humanity and of all creation and of you. Rejoice. And looking back at Juneteenth, and those pride anthems and the Apostle Paul in prison, I think we get one glimpse of one more aspect of joy that we can't ignore. We have talked about joy because, and we've talked about joy notwithstanding. The full experience of all of that almost necessarily flows into something I've heard called joy against. Joy against. Now hang in there with me. If joy, God's joy, our joy, if joy is ultimately about what is good for the flourishing of humanity and creation, then joy must also necessarily stand against all that stands in opposition to that flourishing. The joy in the liberation of Juneteenth compels us to stand against racism and every power that holds people down and that denies their full humanity. The joy in the liberation we sing in those pride anthems compels us to stand against every power and force that seeks to keep us separate and apart, to stand against laws that target our transgender siblings, to stand against any action that seeks to make anyone anywhere feels somehow less than. The joy and freedom of which the Apostle Paul writes from his prison cell reminds us that he also wrote, "It is for freedom Christ has set us free." Joy because of the goodness we see and experience in the world. Joy notwithstanding the trouble, turmoil, and suffering because God is here and God is always on the way. Joy against every power that seeks to keep humanity from God's forever longing for human flourishing. For our good and for the good of all creation. Can you hear that in Mary's song? My whole being magnifies God. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. God has scattered the proud in their thoughts, brought down the powerful from their thrones, dismantled the systems that keep the rich rich while the poor go hungry. My spirit rejoices as I see God filling the hungry with good things, as I see God lifting up the lowly, as I feel God doing all that in me. Mary, God's humble servant. Can you hear it in the words of the prophet? Words that we know someday will resound in the voice of Jesus. God's Spirit is upon me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to let all who are oppressed go free, to release everyone from every debt. Joy against, joy notwithstanding, joy because God. As we enter into this last leg of our long journey toward joy, as we head on toward Christmas Eve, as we tell this story that we know so well, the invitation this morning, this week, this year is to experience this beloved story fresh. The invitation is to experience it with this expansive understanding of the depth and breadth of joy, of God's joy and ours. So this year, when angels and shepherds rejoice and Mary ponders all these things in her heart, look. Look for where you are seeing the fresh presence of God rising up from the steady and sure saving action of God from the very beginning down through the generations and on out into forever. It is like the Apostle Paul says, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. God is near.